WGCH a broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Good morning, Greenwich. It's 9:30 on Wednesday, and that means it's time to talk with me, Jen Graziano. I'm the co-owner of Cox and Graziano Funeral Home, located at 134 Hamilton Avenue. And as part of my family's commitment to the community, I come to you every Wednesday, talking to people that matter, about things that matter, in a place that matters, right here in Greenwich. We're going to be talking all over the place this morning. If you're joining us on air, 1490 WGCH, and good morning, Facebook Live viewers. Thank you for tuning in. Hello to my boys, Bob and Tim, in the studio, who are going to be chatting with me because, as I said, we have lots of call-in guests today. We're going to be hearing from Fred Camillo, who announced his candidacy to run for First Selectman of Greenwich, and think he'll be a great man for the job for sure. So we'll hear from Fred and his platform and what his plans are and why he's deciding to throw his hat into the ring for this. We will also be talking to Bill Armbuster, the senior advisor to livable communities from the AARP, and he's an advisor to the Town's Commission on Aging. I can't say it enough. I say it so often on the show. What a wonderful resource Greenwich has in their Commission on Aging, and they should be the first call. But while we have some time, I'd like to talk to, hello, in front of the camera,
good
Tim.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Tim worked with me to publish the latest issue of Coming of Age, which is out. The tangible print copies aren't here yet, but Tim, they will be soon, right?
Yes.
Okay, good, good answer. I love when I have
a post to Facebook if you want a copy.
It is on Facebook.
No, I mean, if you want one, a hard copy delivered. We can read it online, yes.
Yes.
Oh, it's published online.
That's very true.
But we're talking about the print.
If you go on to this Facebook page, I believe it's
yes.
here, and the Cox and Graziano Facebook page, we have the new issue. And every issue really gets more and more substantive, and it makes me so happy because everyone who's read it comes back and says, we needed this. We needed to talk about this. We needed to see it in print. And the cover, can you tell our viewers and listeners this morning a bit about the main feature article?
Well, the main feature, and I just heard that he's going to be on next week, Dr. Red Cross.
Spoiler alert.
Stealing the thunder. He's going to be on next week, and he is all about concierge medicine.
He is a local guy, but quite a celebrity. You can see him. He's appeared on Dr. Oz, on morning cable news shows like Fox and CNN. And his whole claim to fame, aside from being an author and a physician, is this move towards the concierge model. He
yes.
was among the first to open up this real boutique practice. And when I heard of him at first, I thought he was, you know, some guy from L.A. or somewhere nowhere near us. But he's right in Westchester. He's in Eastchester, I believe.
Yes.
He talks about what he does. I interviewed him, and he really breaks down the concierge model because I think so many people think it's untouchable. They just think there's no insurance involvement. They think it's total out
right.
of pocket. They think it's thousands and thousands of dollars. And what they don't realize, well, yes, you can't dispute that there is a different price tag to it. It's not necessarily unattainable. But what did you learn anything about what you get for your dollar here in concierge
well,
medicine?
Well, it was just that, and the entire magazine kind of touched on really focusing on the whole person. And so the concierge concept is that he is just more in tune and in touch with his patients and clients.
And he gets to spend more time with them.
Right.
And therefore, when you're spending more time with your patients, you're understanding them and you're listening to them. I hear it so often that doctors just sometimes miss what the patient is saying. And
right.
it's done sometimes inadvertently because you're pressed for time, you're pressed for, you know, your ability to see all these people in your office. So you can see how it happens. Concierge medicine allows a much more one-on-one dialogue between
right.
doctor and patient. And we have a caller on the line.
Phil is on the line, yes.
Phil is on the line. Good
yeah.
morning, Phil.
Oh,
hello?
Where is he?
I think it's Bill.
Hey. Bill, I'm sorry.
Bill. Oh, yeah. Bill,
not that I don't want to talk to Phil, but I wasn't expecting Phil. This is Bill. Bill Armbuster.
Brewster.
On Brewster. I guess we're both 0 for 2.
I know.
All right, we're just going to keep it to Bill. Welcome, Bill. You are the senior advisor to livable communities, correct?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for coming on this morning. Can you talk a bit about the Livable Communities Program, Aging 2.0, Commission on Aging, and all the great things that are, in fact, going on here in the town of Greenwich for the senior community?
Yeah, first off, it's really exciting to see the support across the community on something we call age-friendly, which is really about looking at our community and thinking beyond, is this a great place to grow up? To, is this a great place to grow up, grow old, and thrive? So what is it that's important to a community? And, you know, being able to get around, safe, accessible housing, transportation, places that you can go. How do you get involved? Can you volunteer? Can you work until you want to work or need to work? You know, what are all those factors that makes a community livable?
And livable, just that. I mean, like you said, the ability to age here, to stay here. It's not that you have to raise your family and then, you know, set your sights on somewhere else because it's no longer practical for you to remain in what has become your home. What are some of those factors, though, that make a community livable? Like you say, accessibility, for example. I know in Greenwich, they've done lots of work to make sidewalks accessible for wheelchairs and even baby strollers. You know, livable spans all the ages. You want a community to be age-friendly for every different stage of your life. What are some other factors that categorize a community as livable?
You know, looking at our housing stock, is our houses accessible? I always joke that I live in a Peter Pan house. My home is designed for people who will never grow old. You know, three steps to get in, laundry's in the basement, bedrooms are upstairs. We know better now. So are we designing homes and building homes for a lifetime, or are we designing them for that great place to grow up? So sort of having that dialogue. And then transportation. What are your options to get around the community, whether you choose not to drive, decide you don't want to drive anymore, or you're unable to? Can you still maintain your independence and do all of the things that you'd like to do? And then, you know, looking even at things like social inclusion and respect. Are we really looking at who lives in our community when we do our planning? And it's not just municipal planning. You know, it's other entities as well. How do we look at supporting our entire community, you know, in a way that allows them to live their best life?
Wonderful. And Bill, through your work and just taking the temperature and your finger on the pulse of the issue of aging, what are the main concerns of seniors? Does it seem to fall on more transportation or access to social programs? What are the needs of that specific community? And do you see the response from the community appropriately measured?
So, you know, it depends on the community you're in. We currently have over 340 communities across the United States who are enrolled in the network, and that represents over 80 million lives being impacted. But transportation, once you get out of, you know, a metro area like a New York City, L.A., you know, transportation becomes a big question, particularly as people are getting older or may have ability issues. Communication is also a big issue. You know, as much as things are easy, you can Google it or whatever you may do. How do I find out what's going on in my community? How do I find out what resources and where do I go? Is there one place to go? And, you know what you know.
That's
and if you're not sure what else is out there, how do we also communicate the wealth of resources, particularly in a community here like Greenwich that does have, you know, a wealth of programming from cradle to grave, essentially. How do we connect people with that and make sure that they know what's going on and they can get involved with what they'd like to? And again, volunteer opportunities, too. People want to get involved, but they don't know where and how to be engaged.
Well, there's certainly plenty of opportunity to become involved in Greenwich. Always wonderful programs put on by the Commission on Aging. I believe there is an event today, in fact, or this evening. Do you know about that, Bill?
I do. I'll actually be there as one of the presenters. It'll be 6:30 tonight at the Bruce Museum.
Okay.
There was a survey that was done last year
Yes.
Over 1,800 people in this community responded to it. So a wealth of resources. We're going to discuss what we heard and then talk about how what we heard is going to actually be turned into a plan. You know, to let people know, we just didn't do a survey to do a survey, but we're doing this in a way that will impact people's lives.
So that's 6:30 this evening at the Bruce Museum?
Yes.
Okay, we encourage everyone to go out, especially if you participated in that survey, because now you see the plan being put into action. So you answered questions, they heard you, they listened, and now let's see what they're going to do about it. It's one thing to have a plan. It's another thing to put it into action. So, Bill, I commend you on your work to make communities, in fact, livable. And like I said, I think Greenwich does just an amazingly fine job with making this an age-friendly place. There's lots to do, lots to learn, and always evolving. They're always looking for a way to make it better.
And it takes community involvement. This is not just a town plan. This is really looking at how and what can everyone in this community do to come together to make it more livable.
Wonderful. I thank you. Hopefully people will hear you tonight, 6:30 at the Bruce Museum. I will give another plug for this at the end of the show, but I certainly thank you for the call-in.
Thanks, Jen. Have a great day.
You too, Bill. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
So as we wait for Selectman candidate Camillo to call in, I think it is wonderful. I mean, you've done so many shows here, and Bob, you've listened to so many of the shows. There really is always something going on with the Commission on Aging, and the town is sponsoring so many programs for health, wellness, education, even learning technology. You know, it's never too late to learn something new, and I think they do an amazing job here down on 299 Greenwich Avenue. Would you agree?
Greenwich is very strong in supporting their seniors.
You can stay here. You don't have to raise your family and leave. So
right.
I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah. And there's a lot of places that they can reach out and become involved, and that's a great thing. And before he called in, I just wanted to say that the concierge medicine, when the doctor gets to open up and connect with the patients, that's when the patient really can tell them what's going on. I know from my own experience, when you meet a doctor for the first time or see him for 20 minutes, you don't really get to dive in to, you know, everything that might be affecting you. And the concierge medicine, you know, he really gets to do a deep dive with the patient and get to open up, just like seniors get to open up around here. The concierge medicine, I just wanted to add that I felt that his platform really gives a connection to patients and doctor that's not, you know, really possible when other practices might be just, you know, churning out the
absolutely.
Patients.
Absolutely. You're just a number. Well, look, the word itself, concierge, lends itself to, you know, personal, you know, dedicated, one-on-one, just a higher level of
right.
service. So it looks like Bob is on the phone again.
Yes, I was. And this time, it is Fred. I know. That's his name.
Right, we have no doubts on this
yes.
one. There's only one Fred. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Jen. How are you?
Very good.
Good morning, Fred. It's
good
Tim.
Good morning. Tim, how are you?
Tim, you'd be very proud of this guy on the phone because in light of the big night he had last night, he still
there.
Made it to the gym today, though.
I was there, and I went to the gym this morning.
Well, we weren't talking about you. We were talking about Fred.
But well, he's doing more. Fred is doing more. He's put his hat in the ring, and I'm here to support him.
Well, what a great guy to support. Fred, first of all, congratulations. I am so happy for the announcement that you made last night, and I'm sorry I missed it, but tell us why you're doing this. Why the shift? Why from Hartford back to the main town of Greenwich?
Well, that's a great question, Jen, and people have been asking that the last 24 hours, and it's really simple. I've always been involved in town issues, even before I was in the General Assembly, even before I was on the RTM many years ago. And it's just a way for me, a role for me to be in, where I can help my town a little bit more in a more direct way. Certainly, I'll miss the State House. I love the issues up there. You deal with issues that affect 3.5 million people, but there's something about your hometown, and having been involved with, you know, the town since I was about 20, volunteering and in athletics, and then in the RTM and the Parks Board and so many other organizations. It's just an opportunity for me to serve in a greater role.
Well, Fred, you're certainly an effective leader. I mean, you have a tremendous record of bipartisan support, and you really are able to see past the lines that delineate Republican and Democrat, and you can look at the bigger picture. And I think that's one of the many things that single you out from the rest. But among your platform, if elected for selectman, what are your plans for the town of Greenwich? What do you think is lacking? What do you think we need? What would you do differently?
Well, thanks, Janet, and that's a great question. You know, the town of Greenwich since the 1930s, I think, has been the best-run town in Connecticut in many, many ways. And there are many reasons for that, as I said last night. But I think civic involvement is number one, and great leadership we've had. And I think each person has left it in better shape than the person before them. But can they get to all the issues in a two-year term? Of course not. I think each person has focused on certain issues and brought their skill set to those issues and those endeavors. What I'm looking at is, since I was a little boy, that people have been complaining about parking in downtown, and it's gotten worse. It was about 14,000 registered cars here in 1969, and there was almost the same amount of people, 59,000. Today there's 62,000 people, but lots more cars, and there's a lot more congestion. So I've been meeting with people and companies about how to get the parking into downtown without.
Can you hear us?
Yes. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Okay.
Sorry.
Keep going, Fred.
That's just your headphone.
Gotcha.
It's the typical headphones here.
It's not you, it's
half
me, Fred.
Work, they half don't.
Okay. What I was saying was that, the parking has been an issue for since I was a little boy. And so how do you deal with getting the parking downtown in a way that's not going to look ugly, that's not a freestanding parking garage? No one wants that. And I think I know how to address it. Also, playing fields and athletic facilities. I think we really have fallen behind in those areas. And again, this is no knock on anybody in town government for the last 40, 50 years. It's just you can't get to every issue, and neither will I. But these are things that I would be focused on. And to do it, I think Peter Tessie mentioned it the other day, it's hard to expend tax dollars on everything. Your mill rate would go through the roof. So you really do have to bring in private dollars, public-private partnerships. Other towns, other cities, other states do that. I think we really have to focus on that. There's no reason why we shouldn't have first-class fields and facilities, and that our businesses downtown should not have to worry about enough parking spaces. So it would be my main focus, those areas. But there's certainly a few other ones which I'll be outlining in the next few weeks. But those are critical, I think, that things that need to be addressed. Again, without breaking the bank and lightening the taxpayers' wallets.
It's so true. And when you look at the state of Connecticut and the overall financial situation that they're in, Greenwich remains strong. But the importance is you have to keep that. You have to maintain that. And you have to fight for Greenwich, that it's not the one shouldering the burden of the state as well.
You're absolutely right. And that's the key. So there's ways to do it. There are blueprints all over the place. But, each town, each municipality is different. And Greenwich certainly is. So we'll be focused on that. And the good thing is you get to a forum where you can, not only debate these ideas, but to get them out there and put some focus on them. So I'll be grateful for that.
Well, I know you have a busy schedule as always. I promised I wouldn't keep you, but I wanted you to announce once again that Fred Camillo is in fact running for first selectman in the election coming up this November. We're very happy for you. And you have a proven record, Fred. I mean, you can not only recognize and spot an issue, but you can work towards effectuating change. And I think that's one of the things that make you a great leader. So I wish you luck. I know you'll be back on here to talk with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jen. I really appreciate it. And, I wish I could stay longer, but Hartford calls.
Go to Hartford. We understand. You'd much rather be
keep
here.
Keep doing a good job up there, Fred, and we appreciate all you've done.
Well, no, thank you so much. I really appreciate those kind words and for taking the time to let me come on this morning. And I'll see you guys, I guess, in 2 weeks.
Yes, yes, definitely. You will be in studio in 2 weeks. Thanks, Fred. Have a great day.
Very good.
Well, it is true. There is always something going on in Greenwich. There's always good things. There's always an event, an announcement. So good things. We're excited for Fred. And I know he'll be back in to talk with us. Hopefully he'll bring Teddy with him. So it's always a nice addition. So getting back in our final minutes here, I want to talk a bit. Let's circle back to the guest before Fred when we had Bill, and he was talking about aging and livable communities. There's a wonderful article in Coming of Age that aging is misunderstood. Talk a bit about that, because I know Brian worked on that,
yes.
And he was wonderful. Human performance specialist, also known as a trainer, Bob. Don't worry, it's not this like new field. But he really has such an approach. He came on the other show a few weeks ago, and his approach is drastically different. But why does he say it's misunderstood?
Well, the problem with aging is that your body obviously is breaking down, but we're not trained on how to let it fix itself. That's his primary thing. And of course, he could speak better to this. But in the magazine, he touches on a few points that breathing and your lymphatic system are two incredibly overlooked things. Everybody likes to worry about how many carbs they're doing or what their step class has done. But really, breathing and the lymphatic system is very important. And he touches on those in the article and how to focus on your breathing to help your body heal itself, and how to really clean out the lymphatic system, which is kind of like your sewage system, which helps release the toxins that are building up in your body. And those two factors are tremendously powerful in slowing down the aging process. So he's really focused on that kind of stuff, and he's really engaging. But it's a great little article which has, you know, I think it's 5 tips which are pretty easy to do. So he's a very effective guy and very passionate about what he's teaching. So we should have him back again, I think.
Absolutely. I learned something from him. Do you know, Bob, you're not supposed to take a deep breath in when you're like trying to calm yourself? I can't even do it now. I'm so congested. But you always hear, take a deep breath. I mean, it's such a common response.
Right.
But Brian dispelled that notion. It's supposed to
right.
be short breaths from the nose, never, you know, but just short that you can't even hear it happening. Short,
right.
quick nasal breaths.
Sips of air, he calls it. And then, deep breaths are, you know, when you're exercising, doing heavy stuff, and you're really getting into something, you might feel the need to take deep breaths. But to calm yourself, you know, you don't want to be heavy breathing when you're trying to calm yourself down. Everybody says take a deep breath and relax. You want short, calm breaths, and your body will calm down if you're taking a deep breath.
Yeah, deep breath is going to like make you lightheaded. You're going to be over oxygenating your body.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, makes sense now.
And you get into this fight or flight, like I'm getting ready for something, you know, passionate, when you want to be calming down and letting your body you know, reset itself.
Well, you definitely can learn something from listening and watching Time to Talk, because I actually did learn. And ever since he came on, I've stopped myself when I was about to say, did you just take a deep breath? And I don't say it anymore. So thank you to Brian. Another great contribution to the magazine, Linda Ziak. She's been on the show many times, the Caregiver Resource Center. She helps explain concierge medicine perhaps even better than Dr. Red Cross.
It was a very detailed article she wrote.
And also the Osborne, Michelle Thomas has a show on here, in fact, on GCH. But they have an article on when it's time to consider assisted living for perhaps yourself or your parents or an aging loved one. And I think that's so important, because so many people struggle with that. Is it time? Is it time? And, you know, it just becomes a question without answer.
Yeah.
So it's a really insightful article. And there's some fun things, too. There's things you can do with your grandkids or your kids or yourself without grandkids, you know. Don't necessarily. I love having my daughter for many reasons, but you get to go to the movies now that like are great kid movies that are really more for adults, but I wouldn't have gone in without her.
Yeah.
So, you know.
This is pretty funny.
I mean, again, there's a million reasons why I love having my daughter, but, you know, we're going to go to the movies this weekend, and I wouldn't have necessarily seen Wonder Park without my 7-year-old. So,
although you would like to.
I would like to, but you know, again, they really do make them more for the adults.
There's a lot of hidden adult.
They've realized that this helps bring everybody to the movies.
Absolutely.
And that's money.
I think of what was the movie? Oh, Zootopia. And my parents enjoyed it so much more than, and even now, like I find myself laughing uncontrollably if I hear it on in the background. And she has no idea of what the funny parts really are.
Right.
But it's so well done. Even on the blog, on the website, there's a blog I did about a Disney movie that talks about death and family on the movie Coco. So well done. As a funeral director, I appreciated it. As a mother, I really appreciated it. So there's a lot more wisdom for adults through children. We just have to open our eyes to it.
This is good. I like this.
Yeah, so lots of good things. But the only way to read and learn more about these good things is going on the blog, going on the website. The magazine has to get uploaded to the website.
Yes.
So.
I forwarded a copy to my friend in Florida because, you know, she's got her parents up in New Rochelle and, you know, starting to think about their situation. And I'm like, well, here's a full magazine of resources for you to take a look at.
And that's exactly what it was intended to be.
Yeah.
Everything we talk about here, again, it raises conversations that they're in the back of your head, not necessarily the forefront of your mind.
Right.
And through the guests that we bring on here, we just try to let people know it's okay to start thinking about the things that are uncomfortable, but you kind of have to start thinking about them. So we make it the uncomfortable somewhat comfortable.
Well, the magazine's a good conversation starter.
It is. It's a good conversation piece. Always copies available at Cox and Graziano. You're welcome to stop in, but we have them stocked at local libraries, senior centers, the Cost Cup seniors as well. You can find them in nail salons. I know I've taken some. So, In radio stations as well. Yes, absolutely. This is Jen Graziano thanking you all, though, for taking the time to listen today as we took the time to talk. Thank you to my boys, and have a great day, Greenwich. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
The station you grew up with, 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
A fort in court, FAA scrutinized, I'm John Trout. Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort entered the courtroom in a wheelchair to learn his ultimate prison fate. Judge Amy Berman Jackson has taken her seat at the bench in U.S. District Court. More from correspondent Laura Jarrett.
She revoked his bail last June after finding he tried to coach potential witnesses, a violation that has kept him in jail ever since. And unlike